Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, Philadelphia. This is Dean Weitzman, and you're listening to Court Radio. Joined in the studio with my co-host, the one and only, the inimitable, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Hey, I love the applause.
There you go.
Hello, people of Earth. We are broadcasting to a lot more people today, right?
Absolutely. We're starting to broadcast today to the entire family of Radio 1 stations. And you're hearing us for the first time. You're listening to Court Radio. This is a show from 7 to 8 every Sunday morning where we tackle your legal questions one at a time, hitting some hot button topics on the law for Philadelphia and the surrounding area. So if you've got questions, we've got answers. Give David and I a call at 215-263-1003. That'll get you into the studio where we'll answer your questions or give it our best shot. If you're a new listener, we have only one rule on Court Radio. That's it, just one. And that is, you get one question and one question only. If you've asked a second question, yeah, you're going to get taken care of by the producers and sent off to Court Radio kindergarten. And you're not going to get a second question answered. So if you do have a second question, you'll have to get back in the queue because there's going to be a lot of people asking questions, and we want to try to get to as many as possible. 215-263-1003. If you've been sitting on your legal question this week, that's the number to call. David?
Yes.
We got some news to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We have a little bit of news before we get into it. We had a busy show, right?
So. We do. We're going to make this quick. You know, Michael Nutter, the mayor of Philadelphia, the big chief, he's finally given up the ghost when it comes to the firefighters.
Yes, yes. He's...
There was an arbitration award.
Nice big sum.
Yeah, like about $100 million or so. And the city finally can afford to pay it. So he says he's done playing with appeals. And the hardworking firefighters of Philadelphia are going to get their cash finally. And they deserve it as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah,
can't say enough about that.
They're finally can breathe a sigh of relief, and
I would like to know how much was spent on fighting up until the point that we finally,
I know,
as
we,
a city, gave in.
Yeah, you know? We didn't get any. We don't fight those fights.
Well, no,
but, you know, yeah. We represent people, not cities.
That's right.
So there you go. 215-263-1003, and the other big chief, President Obama,
yes,
has got his hands full. Oof. This week with Syria. And Syria's looking down the barrel of possibly a missile attack.
A nice, a drone or two.
Yeah.
A missile, actually.
Well, I think that President Obama did the right thing by passing it on to the Congress, you know. Why? Because no matter what decision he made, he was going to get heat from, you know, everybody, all the haters were going to have a reason to just hate on him some more.
Well, let's face it, we're a little war-weary. And unfortunately, that was created by others, as we know. But, you know, when that happens, you really have to be reasoned. You got to hand it to them to make stressful, you know, it's a real stressful situation. You can't go by the past. You have to go by the situation. But, boy, I'll tell you, I saw a picture of him in the paper. And that job at being president, that ages you, man. He just looked gray and a lot older than he is when he first became president, you know?
It does. It beats you down.
It does.
It's a lot on his shoulders. And he did the right thing, though, I think, by placing a little bit of this on those knucklehead congressmen's shoulders. Yes, yes, yes. You know, the ones who complain about everything but do nothing.
Yeah, right.
So the do-nothings now have the responsibility of making the moral decision whether we punish Syria for their chemical warfare against their own people. And there's many ways to go on it, but they're going to make a decision. And
I think Tuesday he's going to give a speech in public.
And I think he's going to try to get the public behind this idea.
Of course.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, we got a first caller. Let's tackle it right off the bat here. We got James from Philly. Hey, James, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. What's your question?
I got overpaid from unemployment compensation.
Lucky
hey,
you.
Hey, all right.
It's always good to get overpaid until you get caught.
Yeah.
What happened then?
So now that I got some letters from some people. They say I own $10,000. I don't own that much, but I got some letters from some other people saying that if I deal with them, I only have to pay them $1,100. I just want to know, what's my best option on trying to make a deal and pay unemployment back?
Oh, you mean you're getting one of those letters from those, those companies that'll reduce your debt for you and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's probably not the best place to go first. You might want to get all the information from Social Security, I would think. That would be the first thing.
It's unemployment.
I mean, unemployment. I'm sorry. Get all of the information from them. In other words, ask them to send you all of the records and how they base what they paid you on and blah, 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 blah. And then if you have trouble reviewing all of it, it might behoove you to hire an attorney just to review it and see what you can do. There are reputable companies that handle this kind of thing, but you got to be careful with using one that you just get a call from or a letter in the mail, you know.
All right.
James, you have the distinction, sir, of being the first question caller in our new era, the Court Radio era, where we've taken over Philadelphia once and for all. And I thank you for your question, sir.
All right. Do unemployment make a deal?
Everyone makes deals.
When it comes to money, everyone makes a deal.
And especially if they participated, if it was if it was a lot of their responsibility for having overpaid you, I think they'll make even a greater deal. If, on the other hand, you were, shamming them and they finally caught up with you, they might make less of a deal. But I agree with David wholeheartedly. You probably should have representation who can review it and negotiate on your behalf. Always easier to have somebody else doing the negotiations for you.
Okay.
All right, James, be well. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you go. 215-263-1003. What else is going on? Real quick, Montgomery County, the place that we always beat down.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do it.
The place where cases go to die, as lawyers like to say.
It's a legal quagmire in Montgomery County because it takes so long. Philadelphia gets knocked around a lot for a lot of things, and maybe they deserve some of it. But one thing they got right is their judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
The civil judicial system in Philadelphia is the diamond of Pennsylvania.
It's very streamlined now.
Yeah.
Used to be very bad. When I started,
it could take 6 or 7 years for a case to come to court.
Which is what it's like in Montgomery County.
Still. Those folks still haven't really gotten it together yet. And shame on them, because they certainly don't lack for cash in Montgomery County.
Right.
There's really no excuse for Gladwin to take 7 years to try a case when Philadelphia can manage to do it in 24 months.
But I think even worse is that Montgomery County is getting a reputation amongst the circle of lawyers who handle cases on behalf of people who've been injured that, for the most part, you have a difficult time getting compensation for injury.
That's
very, very difficult.
True. Yeah.
Most of the cases are defense verdicts or a very small compensation award.
And this isn't to say that the folks don't deserve an award in Montgomery County.
Sure.
We think the juries are conservative to a fault. And, they could take a lesson from the Philadelphia playbook on what to do to negligent defendants, negligent companies, negligent people. It's time to punish them. And the only way to punish them civilly is to smack them down with a large award. And then maybe people become safer, doctors become safer, institutions become safer, and we all benefit from it. And as a result, we like to once in a while show a good light on Montgomery County. And they have a recent jury award for $4 million to a Hatboro man who sustained a really horrific nerve injury as a result of the negligence of his doctor. And so the Hatboro guy gets $4 million in Montgomery County. We applaud the jury system, and we applaud the jury in Montgomery County who handled that case. So there you go. Once in a while, we have something nice to say. Not often. About Montgomery County, that is. All right. So let's talk, David, about our hot button topic.
All right. This is something we've sort of touched upon many times in the past. And people have called. We've gotten a lot of calls in our history of how to expunge a criminal record.
I want to say that I get two or three calls a week still. Every week, some poor soul who had a criminal record, who has a criminal record, who has been a model citizen for 10 years, 15 years, and who is still, and it's usually a he, who is still dogged by that bad decision that he made when he was in his younger years, and he can't get a job, he can't get some benefit that he's in, should be entitled to because of the record that carries through in his life. And I, unfortunately, have to tell most of those people that there's nothing that I can do about it. We're joined in the studio by the one and only, the infamous state representative, Jordan Harris. Welcome to Court Radio, sir.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Oh, it's my pleasure. So you, what, did you just graduate high school last year?
No.
Jordan, come on.
No, no, no.
The young, one of the youngest state reps?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, welcome aboard. And but your youth doesn't prevent you from coming up with some really good ideas. And one of them that I'm going to give you credit where credit's due, you're trying to make it a little bit easier for folks who have old criminal records to get them put in the past where they belong, right?
Yes. I have two pieces of legislation. One is House Bill 908 and 909. Both are in the Judiciary Committee in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. The main one deals with the issue that we're talking about, which is the expungement of criminal records. And what my bill simply says is that after 7 years' time, a person with a non-violent offense, and I point that out because we've enumerated in the bill the different offenses that we're not talking about. So we're not talking about murder, we're not talking about rape, we're not talking about anything against a child, any of those high violent offenses. We're talking about non-violent offenses. After 7 years, this bill says that you should be given the opportunity to go before a judge and have the judge determine whether your criminal record is expunged. You know, for me, I think judges are elected in the state of Pennsylvania. We put our trust in them to make the best decisions from a legal perspective. And I think when you have so many people in Pennsylvania who have criminal records from a long time ago and they're hindered by a number of things, if they have shown themselves a changed person, I believe you should give the opportunity to a judge to determine whether that record should be expunged or not, and if that person should be given a fresh start.
I think that's a great idea. Because it does put the responsibility on the person who is most intimate with deciding those, making those kind of decisions. Guilt or innocence is what a judge usually decides. But really, you know, the judge is the one who's made the sentence in the first instance, and given the facts of understanding the facts of the case and whether somebody is rehabilitated, the whole judicial process. But now, will this bog down the system? I mean, will there be literally, there's going to be thousands and thousands of these petitions. How do they get heard? How long will it take? Who's going to do it?
Well, right now, I would say hundreds of thousands, actually, throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, hundreds of thousands of folks would find respite if this law is passed and the governor decides to sign it. You know, the criminal justice system is going to find itself a little understaffed, I believe, because of all of the folks who will be coming to the court. But with that being said, I mean, you have the pardon board right now, which has a 3-year backlog, if not longer, just to get before the pardon board to see that they would even decide to give you a pardon, and then it could sit on a governor's desk for in perpetuity. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so this is putting in a process that would actually help people. So is it going to hurt court systems across the Commonwealth? Yes. But I think the question that we should be talking about is, how is this already hurting the lives of many Pennsylvanians? How is this hurting How is this hurting Pennsylvania's economy? How is it hurting Pennsylvania's budget?
In perpetuity, folks. Yeah, that's a little Latin for you Sunday mornings. That usually means forever and ever and ever, or a long time. You know, whatever comes first. I'm thinking maybe that the folks who are filing the petitions can fund this system, because if you want to get your record expunged, you have to pay a filing fee. Maybe the filing fees for these petitions can be enough that it would support itself, and that the judges would be paid as a result of that.
So my job is to come up with the law, and
my job is to, you know, play with it
right.
a little bit.
So I would leave this totally up to you guys and to folks in the judicial branch on how they do it. The fact for me is this, and I had a conversation with somebody about a week and a half ago, and we kind of, and it's an organization that supports the legislation, we discussed, you know, how this really hurts Pennsylvania, and most people won't see it this way. If you're not a criminal, if you've never been to jail, I mean, I don't have a record. Never been, you know, I mean, outside of maybe traffic court. I haven't seen the inside of a courtroom.
Let's not mention traffic court.
I haven't seen the inside of a courtroom. But the reality is this. We're talking, and this is, I think, a conservative number that I was told, about $3 billion in additional revenue for the state when you look at how much money people aren't making because of unemployment, as well as when you look at how many people continue to reoffend and go back into the criminal justice system and cost us more money with regards to the Department of Corrections, which is a budget that continues to grow when other budgets continue to decrease. So we're talking about not necessarily just being tough on crime, because I am tough on crime. Make no mistakes about it. I'm tough on crime. If you're doing these heinous crimes, we need to lay the hammer down. I'm not opposed to that. But you also have to be smart on crime. And what smart on crime says is that the 60-year-old man or woman who committed a crime when they were 20 years old, but they haven't committed a crime since, there has to be some way that we forgive that person. And here's the reason why. There are a lot of services and benefits that people can't go after because of their criminal records. Some funding for higher education you can't get with certain criminal offenses. Some housing programs you can't get with certain type of criminal offenses. I had a senior who under any other terms would be eligible for senior housing, and because of federal statutes that talks about crimes code, she's not able to get into public housing because of her criminal record.
How old was the record?
The record was like 40 years old.
It's crazy. Yeah. But let me play devil's advocate for a second, just on one issue that was dogging us when we were thinking about this. Let's say I'm a business owner, mm-hmm. And my business is a check cash, something that involves money. Mm-hmm. Don't I have a right, or shouldn't I have a right, and want to know if my potential employees who are applying have any type of past record on, you know, theft or something that could impact on my business? Not to say that they are going to repeat their crime, but I should be aware of it. Now, I understand 40 years is a little ridiculous, but mm-hmm. you said 7 years. So,
yes.
A lot of business owners, I think, would argue that they want to know. They want to have the ability to at least know, for a lot of reasons, one being potential liability that they could have if they hire someone that had a record. And they didn't know it.
There's
and then,
already,
you know,
David, there's already a lot that folks do know and attempt to know. You know, if you've got bad credit, you could be denied a job
I know.
You know,
right.
And so people are doing credit checks on,
I know.
You know. So, I don't know. I mean, it seems
I'm not advocating. I'm just saying. I'm playing devil's advocate.
I hear you. And I think that somebody needs to say, you know what? No, you don't. Enough's enough.
Right.
You know too much about me already.
That's right.
And
give me a chance.
Yeah. Let me give me a chance. Give me a job.
Right.
Give me a chance to do this. 215-263-1003. We're talking about expungement with Rep. Jordan Harris. And you know, like I said, I get two or three calls a week.
Yeah.
People call and say, well, listen, I had a misdemeanor mm-hmm. from 20 years ago.
Nope.
A misdemeanor. Come on.
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do, folks. You cannot expunge a misdemeanor. Forget a felony. You can't expunge a misdemeanor in Pennsylvania.
I mean, I think one of the big keys to this is, as we were talking before we went on the air, Jordan, is getting this perception away from politicians and hence the public of crime, crime, crime. Got to be hard on crime. And you just hear, if you hear a politician say, I want to do something that would be quote unquote soft on crime, all of a sudden they think they're not going to get elected and their career is over. So everyone, you know, just perpetuates these ridiculous laws that really we should revisit.
Yeah, but usually it's Republicans.
Well, two things. One, I don't think I have a problem making the case to folks that live in my area, to the grandmoms who who live in my district, because many of their grandsons have criminal records. They come to me and they ask me, what can you do for my baby to help him get a job? You know, so I don't have a problem making that case.
So you're the right guy for this job. But you know what? I say, even if you're representing a district where nobody's ever committed a crime. Okay.
Yeah, where's that district?
Yeah, you have an obligation to support this bill because this is a good law that will help financially and socially. It will help Pennsylvanians.
But that's the problem with Pennsylvania. And we're a big commonwealth, and you have a lot of middle, you know, and western areas that will look at this and say, oh, no.
Well, I think the reality is, for me, you know, for some people, it's a moral issue,
right?
And that's great. But beyond the moral issue, let's just talk brass tacks. This is a financial issue, particularly when you look at some of the distressed schools that we have throughout the Commonwealth, not just Philadelphia, but Harrisburg, Chester, Upland, you know, folks in Allentown, folks out in Allegheny County and Pittsburgh, their school districts are struggling. Well, how about the fact that we could provide more funding for public education when we talk about decreasing the recidivism rate of folks going back to prison, when we talk about how we take people from tax burdens to taxpayers, we talk about the increase in revenue that comes into the state coffers that we can actually put out to things that we should be paying for, which is schools.
Listen, I'm a proponent of the carrot and the stick theory. Mm-hmm. If you give somebody a reason not to commit a crime, like, hey, you stay clean for the next 7 years,
right,
and this will be in your past,
right,
that's a great thing.
Exactly. If they know that it's going to be, you know, there for life, then really,
Jordan Harris, you can solve the criminal problems of Pennsylvania.
I'm trying.
No, but I really think a great point is this money generation to go to education,
mm-hmm,
and not just education in schools, but education and rehabilitation of minor criminal acts. You know, people, instead of throwing them in jails, we've talked about many times. You know, marijuana, let's say possession or something like that.
Folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, we're going to be right back. We're going to have a 2-minute break. We're coming back with Jordan Harris and others, and we're talking about expungement of criminal records. We're trying to make the past stay in the past. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our 3 convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome back. This is Court Radio, and I am Dean Weitzman, the one and only host of Court Radio, joined in the studio by my co-host, David Rappaport.
Good morning.
Good morning, David. And Representative, the Honorable Jordan Harris.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know what's funny? You know, that honorable thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I look at my mom like, hey, I'm honorable. Right. Hey, Mom.
Yeah. The citizens of the Commonwealth have declared you honorable.
Yeah, I guess. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we have Sherry from Philly on the line who's got a question for us. Sherry, welcome to Court Radio. Thanks for giving us the patience to hang in there.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question, Sherry?
I have a question. About a year ago, I got hurt at work. I was working two jobs. And when I got hurt, I stopped working both jobs. But my other job told me that I was going to lose my job because I didn't get hurt there if I didn't come back to work. And they took me back on light duty. Now, the case settled with, the other job that I got hurt at wind up giving me a lump settlement and, you know, everything like that to dismiss the case. About a week ago, I get an insurance investigator at my door saying that I broke the law because I was working while receiving workman's comp, even though I already had two jobs the whole time and received a lump settlement. So I wanted to know.
Well, first of all, Sherry, let me ask you something. Were you represented in the workers' comp claim by an attorney?
Yes.
Okay. So I would say the potential for this to be a serious issue is there, and you cannot, for one second, play with this. You can't be on your own on this. You've got to get in touch with the attorney who represented you on your workers' comp claim and explain to him or her what happened and show them the name of the investigator so that they can speak with the investigator on your behalf. And that attorney made a fee on your case, and this is certainly a part of that, and they absolutely will and should take part in representing
you. I'm going to make this comment. You should not give any statements to that investigator. You shouldn't talk to that investigator until you talk to your attorney.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Don't talk to them. You don't have any obligation to talk to them at this point. You should contact someone and get represented and have someone act on your behalf.
Well, okay. I guess what I wanted to know was it a crime even though I had two jobs at the same time before I got hurt?
No.
It's not
a crime.
Right.
The question, you know, this is what investigators like to do.
Right.
They like to scare people, and they scare you, and then they say you're a criminal. You're and I'm going to prosecute you.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the person starts telling them all kinds of crazy stuff, just because out of fear and ignorance, and really they never had the authority or they were never in a position to prosecute you for any crime, and they're using the scare tactics, and it's unfortunate. And you know what? The only thing you need to do is say, my lawyer will call you. Well, have a good day.
I mean, I would say this. It's an insurance company looking to get their money back because they found out that something they claim they didn't know. And the only way you did something, would have done something wrong, is if you were questioned or information was asked for in one of the cases and you lied and said, oh, no, I'm not working in another job. OK, and I doubt you would have willfully lied or anyone, you know, representing you willfully lied. So that's what they're probably looking at. That's their angle. And as long as you can show, you know.
Did your attorney know you had a second job?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
OK, right. So, yeah,
you're fine.
They're barking up.
If the only thing I tell you today is not don't worry and pass it on to your attorney who earned a fee to represent you and deserves to be a part of this process as well.
Yeah, they scared me to death.
I'm sure they did.
Knocking at my door.
Yeah.
With handcuffs and I'm scared to open the door because I didn't know what was going on.
Handcuffs. What the heck is that about?
Yeah. All right, Sherry. Thanks for calling Court Radio. And get in touch with your attorney first thing tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much.
All right. 215-263-1003. This is, you know, that's why I don't represent insurance companies.
I know. Crazy.
Because they're really, you know.
Shady.
Yeah. Well, we can have stories about insurance
companies. Oh, my God. We could do five shows on that and still have stories.
Oh, Lord. All right. So let's get back to expungements for one second. Yeah. Let's talk to Priscilla from Morrisville. Priscilla.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So tell us, what happened with your expungement?
Oh, yes. I have my expungement done in like 6 months. I was in Georgia. It was a rental car situation. I was living in California, and they stopped me for a stolen car. A rental car was budget. So they threw me in jail for a month. It was a $200 bill. What happened, they did take the money off my credit card. After I was in jail and incarcerated for a whole month, I lost my job and everything.
They put
it to me as a felony now.
Has that matter been handled? Have you been tried, or did were the charges dismissed?
Now, I had to talk to the judge 50 billion times. I sat up there with the judge and the prosecutor. They wasn't going to do that. They wasn't going to switch it. I had to really fight for it. I mean, I really fighted for it.
What we're trying to understand is you're saying expungement, but were you convicted or did you plead guilty and you're trying to get it expunged, or did they dismiss the charges?
It ended up being dismissed.
Okay, see, that's a different thing.
So the good point is that if all that you have is an arrest record, if you were never formally convicted of anything, even that arrest record can be viewed by future employers.
Yes.
That can, under the current system, be expunged.
Right, you're allowed to expunge that, yes.
So we're I want to make that clear to our listeners, because we have filed petitions for expungement for summary offenses, which are essentially like traffic violations. It's the
disorderly
lowest
conduct.
It's the lowest criminal activity. So summary offenses can be expunged, and arrest records can be expunged, and juvenile convictions can be expunged. And so there are things that can be expunged. But if you're an adult committing a felony or misdemeanor, those currently in Pennsylvania cannot be expunged.
If you were convicted or pled guilty to those. So you had the actual crime was recorded against you.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if Jordan Harris has his way.
That's right.
And you're clean for 7 years and you didn't commit a violent offense, then you're eligible. It's not a guarantee. You're eligible for expungement. Let's talk. We have on the line Angus Love. Angus, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. And you?
I'm well, thanks. Why don't you tell our listeners what it is you do, Angus?
I am the executive director of the Pennsylvania Institutional Law Project. We're the legal aid provider for over 100,000 institutionalized people in Pennsylvania. And as a human being, we're also concerned about these folks when they get out. That's where my interest in expungement lies.
Okay. So are you familiar with Rep. Jordan Harris's bill?
Yes, I am. And I commend the representative for putting that bill in. It's an excellent opportunity to, as he mentioned earlier, make taxpayers out of tax burdens.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the support.
What do you see any problems with it? Would you make any changes to it?
Well, just a little history. Up until 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, Pennsylvania had one of the worst expungement laws in the country. I think you had to be dead 10 years before you could be eligible. And then we got a bill through that allowed for expungements of summary offenses.
Mm-hmm.
In that bill, there was a piece for expungement of misdemeanors. The District Attorney's Association, a very powerful lobby in Harrisburg, supported that. However, the Attorney General at the time, who's now our governor, opposed it, and they stripped that portion out of the bill. Senator Kitchen has been trying to get the misdemeanors back in for a couple of years. She is SB 328, and Senator Salabay also has been trying to get misdemeanors expunged for a couple of years with SB 328. 391, and now we have Jordan Harris's HB 908 909, all of whom are trying to expunge misdemeanors. And I think it's a big step in the right direction. I think Jordan Harris's bill actually goes a little further than that, and I commend him for that.
Yeah, you know, there's folks should understand that these are state-specific laws, and there are many states where expungement works, and it's legal, and you can get misdemeanors expunged around the country, just not here in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
All right, Angus, thanks for giving us a call. Thanks for voicing your opinion on the expungement law.
Anytime, and be happy to support the bill, Representative Harris.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir.
Thanks.
Wow, you know, people are calling in all over the Commonwealth in favor of this bill.
Well, what's interesting to me, real quick, is Mr. Love, he's in the system working. He sees the effect. A lot of, I would suspect a lot of the knuckleheads who are really opposed to this aren't in the system seeing what's going on.
Well,
they just think crime.
Right, and I think we talked about this earlier, but I think it's a serious note is the perception.
Right.
And I understand, you know, different members who, you know, have constituencies who are concerned about crime rates. I'm concerned about crime. But I'm concerned about crime so much that I think we should take a harder look at how we're doing things. And that's what this bill does. And by no means is this the first bite at the apple, as said, you know, Senator Kitchen, who's a senator that represents parts of Philadelphia County. You know, the senator has been working with us as well. And I also have several on my legislation. I have several prime co-sponsors. And one is Representative Ron Waters from Philadelphia County, and Representative Patty Kim from Dolphin County. And we all see this as an opportunity to actually address crime. You can lower the recidivism rate by taking people who have criminal records, expunging them, and getting them back to work. I say it all the time. A person who worked an eight-hour day, who has a job, who has something to lose, is less likely to commit crime. One, they're too tired after working 8 hours. And two, they have too much at stake now.
Right. There you go. It's the carrot and stick theory again. Let's talk to Carrie from South Jersey, who has a comment about expungement. Yo, Carrie, welcome to Core Radio.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you beautifully.
Okay. My comment really, and I'm going to be brief because I have to go to work, is that the Representative Harris's intentions are fabulous. And it's a good start, but it's a two-pronged process. And this is the part that never gets addressed. There's an entire industry built up around background checks. And to have the records expunged in the court systems is fantastic and a good start. However, all of these databases are never addressed that an employer will go to when they're doing a background check.
Good point.
And these are all individual private companies. So when you can expunge your record in the court system, but your record is still in many a database, so the employer is still going to find that information, and you still have an uphill battle to fight trying to say, well, that was expunged.
Good
point.
There you
go. Excellent. The opportunity to say that.
Excellent point.
Thanks, Carrie, for your great point. And you know what? This is why it's so important for us to have these conversations on Court Radio, because, you know, we could add to this bill a clause that that really punished companies for providing information beyond a certain point, so that there was a some sort of a civil action maybe that could be brought against private companies who disseminated information that had subsequently been expunged. And that's not difficult to do.
No, it's not. But and she's spot on with the fact that there are private industries that are making tons of money off of background checks, but they get their information from the court system.
Right, but once they get that information,
they have it data, right. They keep it.
But they get it from the court system. We got to start here, and then I would be in favor of additional legislation that holds, because at that point, if the court has expunged it, now you're disseminating false information,
right,
or inaccurate and up-to-date information. So I think it's a point well taken, and it's definitely something, hopefully after we get this passed, it's definitely something that we need to take a look at as well.
All right, Carrie, if you're running for office, give us a call. We're going to support you at Court Radio.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Unless she lives in the 186. If she lives in the 186, can't do anything for you.
All right. Be well, Carrie. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio. 215-263-1003 for your questions, legal questions. We're going to turn for a moment to Senator Tim Salabi. Good morning.
Morning,
Tim. Welcome to Court Radio, all the way from.
Thanks for having us.
Are you over in Allegheny County?
In Washington County.
Washington.
Just a little bit south of Pittsburgh.
Are we in the same time zone with you?
Oh, come on now. You know, you guys think the West is the wild, wild West. We're the same time zone. Actually, even have a football team out here that's getting ready to have a start a great season, and I won't get into that with you guys.
No, that's all right. We're I'm going to be happy for 8-8 this year.
We may not be much different out here.
All right, Tim Salabi, senator from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Let me ask you something. Do you support Rep. Jordan's bill here?
Well, you know, he and I have had some conversation about mm-hmm. that, and I obviously support the concept because we got a bill passed several years ago dealing with summary offense expungement, and we're working very strongly now on a misdemeanor 2 and 3 expungement bill. As he and I discussed the first time around, my only concern with him is that as tough as it was to get through the summary phase, and now still meeting a little bit of resistance on the misdemeanor phase, tying felonies in there may be also a challenge. But I think even though his felonies are not the real bad type felonies that we would all know, that it would probably be more proper to have the actual parole board and expungement board really review those on a statewide level versus local level. Either way, I mean, any victories we can get here, I think, is great for workers, great for folks who may have had a miscue sometime in their life but have been leading a great life ever since that miscue. And it's all about giving folks other opportunities, the second chances that truly deserve them.
You know, there's an estimate I read somewhere that 20% of all Commonwealth citizens have a criminal background in their history. This is not limited to just a few people. There's a significant portion of our population, and we never seem to tire about coming up with new crimes and new ways to throw people in jail. And, you know, I mean, I have to say that the politicians in Pennsylvania, part of what you're doing is always coming up, it seems like, with new criminal activity, finding new ways to make things that folks do a crime. And this is a way to say, you know what, you can extricate yourself. I said it earlier in the show, it's a carrot and stick. You get you commit a crime, you say, look, if you're clean for 7 years, if you don't reoffend, there's a way for you to put this in your past permanently.
Well, as it exists right now, there is also a way to do that. Unfortunately, it's so timely because of the numbers you quoted being out there that it takes so long for the existing single parole board grouping to get to your particular case. What I'm trying to do and what Representative Harris is trying to do is to make that come down to a local level, get the smaller, non-critical infractions handled at a local level. Now, that local DA and the local court still have the opportunity to say, no, we're not going to we're not going to handle this from here. You're going to have to go, through the state system and handle it up there. But you're right. It gets that opportunity to shortcut it, if you would. It's not saying that whatever had happened in the past was good, bad, or indifferent, but it's giving you another option to be able to do it quicker. And in many cases, it may mean a job is on the line if you can't get that thing taken care of quickly and having to wait 2 or 3 years to have it done the traditional way.
Right.
Let me ask you something. Are you just being practical, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, are you being practical by introducing your legislation to say, hey, look, if we could get Jordan Harris's bill passed, we would, but since I don't have faith that there are big pockets of politicians in Pennsylvania who will not get behind Jordan's bill, and therefore I'm going to give them another opportunity on a lesser scale to get behind my bill.
Yeah. Well, actually, the bill that I presently have was the same one I introduced about 6-7 years ago when we got the summary piece passed, but they carved out the misdemeanors. I've been at this for 6-7 years. So, you know, actually, I think our bills, they kind of jointly walk together. So, you know, we'll take whatever we can get, I think, right. At this point, because it's going to help reduce the backlog, no matter which one of these things gets passed.
Well, what about the issue you mentioned, Jordan, that our current governor, Corbett, was the attorney general who knocked all this down? So ultimately, won't he have some influence on this when it's?
Well, I think the governor will have some influence, but I'm elected. Tim, I was elected.
Yeah.
The senator and I both have constituencies. The governor has a constituency, which is the whole Commonwealth. And at the end of the day, the senator and I both know this, is that we go up for re-election and we are judged based off of the decisions that we make. With me and the senator, it's based off of our votes. With the governor, it's based off of his signature, or whether to do it or whether to veto it. My theory is simple. I can't control what the governor does. What I can have a little influence on is what my chamber does, and hopefully working with folks like Senator Sullivan, we work together on this. And, you know, if either of these pieces of legislation gets to the governor's desk, then it's going to be up to him whether he will sign it or whether he will veto it. And you know, that's a decision that he will have to stand before the citizens of this Commonwealth and answer for, just like Tim and I do when we run for re-election. And I'm not going to speculate on what he should or would do. I'm not going to speculate on what he would do. I know what I feel he should do. And you know, people are going to be held accountable for it. And I think this is how you move Pennsylvania in the right direction. I think the senator would agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. And not only that, I mean, you know, it with his bill last year that we passed and ended up him signing with some of the prison reform activities, kind of led me to believe that there may be a thought process in his mind that, you know, we've been spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars keeping people incarcerated, in many cases, little offenses that may not necessarily need to be there. So once you get past that part, you know, being able to help folks clear themselves, you know, on their record would be the most practical aspect. We actually tried to put this in that amend this into his prison reform bill package last year, but unfortunately, that didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, I couldn't agree more, and it really comes down to, I'm going to make the decision for the moral reasons that people should be able to put the past in the past. But, you know, if what you need to do is focus on the financial reasons,
sure.
There's a whole lot of financial reasons why this bill makes sense. And the idea that we keep criminalizing things and then holding it against you for the rest of your life just doesn't make financial sense for Pennsylvania. It never did. It certainly doesn't any longer. And it's time that the politicians, you know, really started to think about the dollars and cents on the decisions that are made and how it affects the lives of Pennsylvanians. Senator,
ironically, you make a great point, because, you know, our friends on the other side of the aisle of a representative and I oftentimes criticize the Department of Public Welfare and the public assistance and the folks that continue to stay on it.
Right.
Well, why do a majority of them have to stay on it? Because they can't get a job because their record has something on it that may have been 20, 30 years old.
Exactly.
Let's clear them up. Let's let them get to work. Let's let them give them some pride and ownership and who and what they are. So you're right. I mean, it's a financial thing, if nothing else.
Senator Tim Salabe from the County of Washington. Thanks for joining Court Radio, sir, and have a great Sunday. Great.
See you in Harrisburg, Tim.
All right. Take care, Jordan.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back in 2 minutes after these announcements.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience, from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, welcome back to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman. Joined in the studio by David Rappaport.
Hey, hey.
And the Honorable Jordan Harris.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Aren't we honorable? We're attorneys. Do we get an honorable thing?
We are not. We're dishonorable.
Dishonorable.
Stop.
Dishonorably discharged. All right. We're talking about expungement. You know, I get two or three calls a week from Court Radio listeners who have or want to have their records expunged. The current state of the law in Pennsylvania is misdemeanors and felonies cannot now or ever be expunged. They can be pardoned. You need to get with the governor to get a pardon. It's nearly impossible. It's, you know, if you're not a big contributor to Corbett's campaign, forget it. It's never going to happen. And besides which, the line you have to get in is 3 or 4 years long before they'll even hear you. So it's a impractical method upon which to expunge your record. Rep Harris here, Jordan Harris from the 186.
Yes.
Thank you. He has put forth a bill in the House of which he is a member. And the bill says that if you're clean for 7 years, you get to ask, no guarantees, ask a judge to expunge your record so long as the crime you're asking to be expunged is not a violent felony. And so it would expunge misdemeanors, mm-hmm. and even some felonies,
right.
drug related, maybe like, you know, you were carrying, some pot or something and mm-hmm. they hit you for a felony because it was a little heavy in weight, you know, that might be expungible. Yeah.
Yes. Under this bill, that would be okay. If there was a nonviolent offense and if there were no guns and involved in a crime, that under this legislation, you'll be eligible for expungement.
Okay. And then we had earlier on the line Tim Salabe from Washington County, the other side of the state, who's introduced a bill in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And that bill is similar, but doesn't involve felonies at all. And unfortunately, and we forgot to mention this when Tim was on the line, if you've committed a crime after the age of 25, Tim's bill would have no effect on your expungement. So old head criminals would be followed by their crime forever. Right. And so it doesn't really give the carrot and stick that Dean wants. Okay. But
it's still a step in the right direction.
A huge step.
But not stepping enough. Okay.
Right.
Rep Harris's bill here, Jordan's bill, is a model bill that really would go far enough. And it would do it, and then it would put the responsibility on a judge. Right. A judge would have to hear it like a mini trial. They would hear about all your good things, all the things that you've done right, and then have the opportunity to decide whether you are eligible for expungement.
Right, and that's why we structured it that way, because not only will you have the opportunity to prove your case on why you've changed, but the DA, the district attorney from whichever county, would also have the opportunity to put forth their reasons on why you shouldn't, and then it would be left up to the judge. So, You know, it's a process.
Yes, there would be a give and take. There would be an exchange of information, and everybody's concerns would be heard and voiced.
God
yes.
forbid there'd be some reasoning involved instead Maybe. Of just blanket, you know,
well, that's
decision.
Our hope.
Yeah, there you go.
He's so smart. Okay, well, that's why, you know.
That's why he's a state rep.
At 17, he became a state rep.
In violation of the Commonwealth.
Okay, listen, we got somebody on the line. We got Cassandra on the line who wants to talk about expungement. Cassandra, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thanks. What do you have to say about this?
Okay, I wanted to say, even when you go through the process, expungement is good, and I agree, we do need that, right? But, you know, listening to you and the process right now that we have to go through, and you say we have to ask a governor, right. You know.
Pardon,
that's
a pardon.
Wasting, yeah, a pardon. That's wasting a lot of taxpayers' dollars. But one of my thoughts is that I wanted to say, when a person goes to jail, they pay for their crime, supposedly. Okay, you're sentenced 12 to 24 months, all right? You did your time. You come back out. You can't get the job because of your record, right? And then even at that, they say they have all these programs where you can open up your own business. You can get clothing. And then when you go for them, they tell you that these programs do not exist. So money is being put out for these programs, but they're not helping the individual to be rehabilitated who has supposed to have been rehabilitated when they are incarcerated, you know. So that's one thing. Like my son, he was working. He had a record as a juvenile, and he was working at the hospital as a phlebotomist. He got top accommodations from the chief of staff, and then they sold the company, you know, the hospital, to another corporation, and then they terminated him. They
right.
said, you know, we viewed the record, and you had a record when you was a juvenile. I called lawyers in reference to it, and it was nothing that they could do, you know. My brother was a supervisor at Nabisco, 5 years working there, a supervisor, and they terminated him. Now, he did not tell the truth on the application because he said he didn't have a record.
Yeah, but guess what? You know what? I mean, some people might say, oh, see, he didn't tell the truth. But you know what? If you told the truth, he wouldn't have gotten a job.
Got it, right.
He wouldn't have gotten a job.
Exactly. Yeah. So 5 years went by. Then Nabisco sold their company
to Kraft
to someone
Foods.
Else, and they terminated him.
Yeah.
You know, so now, wow, you've been working 5 years. You're used to being productive, income. So, you know, your whole
taxpayer,
world
everything.
And
paying taxes.
Trying to get jobs. But this is what I wrote, and I said, perhaps need to be done, okay? When a person gets out, they need a pilot program to produce jobs for the ex-offender, okay? And then that would help. One way to do the jobs would be to revit our city here by, you know, remodeling a lot of the vacant and the old and the run-down areas, right? So that would beautify the city as well as
Cassandra.
Run for office.
Yeah, Cassandra, run for office. You got all
unless you live in the 186. Thank you. All right.
Because there are organizations that have done that. I designed this program in 1977, and you can, you know, read.
He wasn't even born in 1977.
But we need a program to follow the people from prison for the job, you know, like
Cassandra,
preaching to the choir on that one. We've talked about that many times.
We'd love to have you on the show as a guest host, but right now we got to run because we're running out of time. And Stephen Collins is here.
All right, but you know, it's some things that need to be done.
Absolutely.
Never truer words have been said.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Cassandra, thanks for joining us on Court Radio as a co-host today. Representative Jordan Harris, the Honorable, the one and only from the 186. Thank you for hanging out with us today.
Thank you so much. Let me say this before we go real quick. There are people who were convicted of crimes who never did a day in prison.
Right.
Yet their criminal records continue to haunt them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Folks, call your representatives. Get behind folks who need to hear from you. We
we need to go with Rep. Harris here and get this bill passed. I'm Dean Weitzman. This is Court Radio. We'll see you back here next Sunday, same time, same place. David, have a great week.
Thank you. Bye.
See you guys.